Well, for those who have just joined us on the stream, this is the affiliates
task force.
That's right.
So you had a
task force.
You had quorum. Oh, well, I guess you don't need a quorum to start this meeting because it's a task force.
That is quite true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry. The time is wrong on my computer. Maybe something happened when we had a recent storm. And I turned on the radio to hear Democracy Now, and it wasn't on. And I thought, there's something wrong here. Why isn't Democracy Now on? And then I realized it was because it was not 6 o'clock. It was 7. So I'm so glad I got that straightened out, and I'm on the call. I wouldn't have realized it if I hadn't turned on the radio.
Very good. And for those who are listening on the stream, Ursula, who's the coordinator of the affiliates program, the director of the affiliates program, has left the call just momentarily to contact our chair, Rip, who she's going to bring on the call, and he'll chair the meeting, if all works out.
Is our guest on the line yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe I'm the guest, yes.
You are the guest.
If you'd like me to start, I could.
Yeah,
or wait.
I was just going to say, Dave, while you're on, why don't you tell them about your station, when it started.
Okay.
Where it is in Florida.
Okay. I'm with, my name is David Beaton. I'm with WSLR LPFM in Sarasota, Florida. We reach about 150,000 people, probably much more than that. We're 100 watts, as you probably know. We were lucky enough to have a hole right in the middle of the city. So we cover the entire city of Sarasota and a little bit of the county areas from we're on the Gulf side, so we go out to the water and then, of course, out past a major expressway. We've been on the air 2 years as of probably this week. The first year and a half, we were on a pole in a guy's backyard, and we started January 1st of this year on top of a cell tower, and it's been a big improvement. We have over 100 programmers. We were kind of a mutually exclusive application with the New College Student Alliance, which is the Honor School of Florida, and we came to an agreement as a community group and a student alliance. We came to an agreement to work together, and over the period of 2 years, we basically have merged and came to one entity where we've built the trust up among each other, and so we've done away with, you know, you're with that group and you're with this group, you know, so we're on one cohesive board now, community and student board. We have programming 24 hours a day. Most of the overnight, we have computers on overnight after 3 a.m., till about 7 a.m. We carry Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, and some other programs. We carry some of the archive programs on occasion. We carry election coverage when you guys do election coverage because we're very motivated election-wise in this area. We're the congressional district of Kathleen Harris that gave us George W. Bush. In 2000.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also the district that the last time around lost 18,000 votes in the computer. So we have a lot of political upheaval here, a lot of activity. There is an active Green Party, very active Democratic Party. Republican Party is still in the majority, but there are a lot of different forces working out there. So it's a perfect time for this station here.
David, didn't you say that you've been refused a tower access because of your affiliation with us?
Refused tower access? No. We have not refused tower access because of affiliation, but we are on a Mennonite piece of land, so we do have certain restrictions on some of our content, specifically alcohol and tobacco products and sexual activity.
Originally, you wanted to be on a church tower?
We were working on being on a church tower, yes, at one time. One of our, and we were restricted at that time, but some of our engineering studies were off by a few meters, and so it turned out that church was like 300 feet outside the possible antenna range. So this was a fluke, this cell tower. We were driving around, and it just goes to show you that you need to try every possibility. We were driving around and saw the cell tower and said, what the heck, let's call this company. Turned out it was an old radio guy who is a very extreme right wing, so far to the right that he's to the left. I don't understand. You know, and he goes, well, I like what you're doing. I'm going to give you a deal and let you put yourself on top of our tower. We have a 5-year contract on our tower at an unbelievable price, which is great for us. And we've got, like I say, 100 programmers, a lot of the communities getting involved. We need to do a lot more work. We have a diversity issue that we're dealing with. We have a subcommittee that's trying to bring in some more of the minority community. We are in a county that is the largest percentage of senior citizens in the nation. So we're dealing with that issue. We have one senior program. We're looking for another senior program. And it's running great. We have one full-time staff member. We had two fund drives, on-air fund drives. The first one we raised $14,000, and the second one we raised $25,000. So we've met our goal, both fund drives, and we'll be doing our third fund drive this fall. So our annual budget is about $55,000 a year. We run out of an old house, and we have an STL link. We're using the cable system to use our STL link to get to the transmitter site, which is good and bad, but, you know, that's what we
could afford. David, what percentage of your programmers are from the community and what percent are from the college?
The college goes away in the summertime. So we fill in summertime college spots with summertime spots with community programmers. I would say that about 20 to 25% are students. The college is a very small honor school, only has 300 students. So actually, I'd probably say it was more like 20%. And the students are not available during the day. They take the evening slots between 7 and 1 a.m.
David, could I ask a question, just a two-part question that's kind of linked? Do you do any programming in Spanish? And the second part of the question is, in some parts of Florida, there are very conservative Latino communities. Do you have any, get any flack or resistance or harassment from any segments of the community?
We do 2 hours of Spanish programming done with a diversity of music and news and information. A gentleman from Colombia does the show, and he's very much in tune with the farm worker programs and all the communities. There is a conservative Hispanic community, but it's not very large. Most of it tends to be a liberal community. We're not close to Miami. We don't have that kind of an influence. And have we gotten any flack? We're still, I would say, since we went on the air in January on the cell tower, I'd say we're still developing our listenership. So I think we're still somewhat under the radar, although we can be received everywhere. What we've been pushing is we have trade outs in all the magazines in town. So we have ads in all the magazines, and we've brought in a couple of local personalities, which we have to be careful about, but we brought in a couple of local personalities with big personalities that have doing the talk shows, and it's bringing in a lot more listeners. And it's been good. It exposes them to a different group of people, you know, and exposes us to a different group of people. So,
great. Bravo.
Thank you.
It's been interesting because they all, it's a different, like I say, we have a very high profile, a very wealthy community in some respects. More millionaires than anywhere in the country. And so they all ask me, who is that woman, Amy Goodman? Where is she? She's so good.
She's not nice.
Tampa? I say, no, she's not in Tampa. She's in New York City. You know. So it's interesting. They're getting exposure. This is a lot of the opera crowd, the theater crowd, that kind of crowd. And we brought in their big personality guy, and he does a talk show, and he does interviews. And so it has helped us financially because we have done a lot of trade outs with other. We're really making a lot of links with other nonprofits, you know, the community theater group, things like that.
And so what's your vision in the next 3 years?
Well, we'd like to get, there's a small Haitian community we want to target and get some Haitian programming on. We'd like to expand the Hispanic programming and the African-American community. We have a number of African-Americans programming, but we need to interface with that community on a more community level. And that's our one of our big goals is getting that diversity involved in the station. Also, there's a youth component that we've been fairly successful at, and we want to bring that back into the station. We have, actually, if you get the 2008 Guinness Book of World Records, we have the youngest DJ in the world. So,
for and how some old reason, is that person?
I think he was 7 years old. So, he found it himself. He was looking at the book with his dad one day, and he was already doing the show. He was doing the show on the station, and he said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I'm younger than this guy in the book." And so they actually qualified, and Guinness was, you know, sent some people to check it all out. And so it's kind of interesting and gave us some publicity. But so our vision is we need to increase our diversity. We also like to increase more of our programs being up on AudioPort. We have one program we put up on AudioPort now, and we're working on a health show to put up on AudioPort. And I think we'd like to kind of, you know, try to develop our news department is important. We have three reporters right now. We do a weekly news show on Mondays and Fridays only at this point. So we'd like to get new community news on Monday through Friday. As far as broadcasting, there is a translator north of us that is for sale, owned by the Bible Broadcasting Network, and we've been in conversations with them. We just don't have the financial wherewithal right now. That would extend us into the adjoining county, which is important for us because these two counties are tied together by an airport. And also many of the workers that work in Sarasota live in the adjoining county. And so people who drive back and forth to work lose our station as they leave the county.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Because you talk about the very well-to-do patrons, do you think that, listeners, do you think one of them could be approached to say, we'd like to know whether you'd like to make a gift to make this happen? Since you've got such... I wouldn't say filthy rich, but you get some really well-to-do people there that just hadn't even thought about the concept of community radio.
Right, and that's what we've got to get them in that mindset. And I think that we're getting to that point, another 6-8 months, and you know, us getting out in the community and stuff, we'll get more of that. Then we'll be able to, because, I mean, these people write $1,000 checks like that, you know. I was surprised because during the fund drive is when we put this personality on, this big personality in town, and we didn't expect him to participate in the fund drive, and his guests were writing $1,000 checks, and we were like, okay, you know, it's kind of surprising. But he's the local MC, this guy. So, and he does all the MCs for, you know, the Cancer Society, for the Muscular Dystrophy, for everything, you know. So he's known and stuff. So our next fund drive will be interesting to see what happens. Then we'll look at the translator. There's some talk on our board, you know, whether you remain local or whether you expand. And that's a discussion we're going through right now. So, you know, and so that hasn't been, we haven't decided whether to do that yet. That discussion is an interesting discussion to have, you know. So I don't know the results of that yet. We have a very active programming committee. We have a good board. Of course, like a lot of community radio stations, the rest of the committee's kind of not quite all get together and stuff. But the programming committee is very solid, and the board's very solid. So, and I should tell you, Ursula also brought me online because I've been employed by Pacifica for the next 3 weeks, for 4 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks, to do outreach to full power applicants that are in Florida and Georgia. Do you want me to proceed with that discussion?
Yeah, describe a little bit the groups that you're working with.
Okay, well, I come from a union background. I had a worker-owned video production company, and I worked with some people in elections in Chicago. And so I feel very comfortable going out and trying to be a circuit rider. So I left for a week and went up to join some folks in Georgia and met with some civil rights organizers in southern Georgia and had a great meeting with them, and they will be moving ahead with their application.
He was meeting with the person we met last week. I mean, last month. Who will
oh, great.
They're solid folks, as you know, and I will be meeting with them in about 7 or about 8 days from now. I'll be meeting with them again and keeping them on the calendar we set to get through to the full power application process. There is also a group in North Georgia I'll be meeting with in a week. Also, the Cherokee, part of a loosely group of Cherokee Nation in North Georgia, excuse me. And I had preliminary discussions with them. I'll do a face-to-face with them in a week. And it sounds like there's a possibility there, a good possibility. I mean, the area is a green area, so it looks good. We're waiting for the study on that. And I'm trying to work with the Miccosukee Indians in southern Florida who have a reservation in the Everglades. They're quite a powerful group. They have two casinos in Florida. I'm trying to get on their radar. Sometimes it's hard to get through to their organization. There is a big hole in the Everglades which sits right over their reservation. Made a number of contacts, haven't gotten to the right person yet. And then there's a group in northwest Florida on the coast, kind of a educational wing of the NAACP up there. It's a very deep south old boy area, very corrupt politics, both on the city and county level, very corrupt in the environmental and land and property appraisal level. People have been put in the 80s and were sold lots and built their houses, the African-American community, on toxic land, just been discovered, and their houses are falling in. There's a lot of environmental damage up there. There's a widespread corruption in the three-county area. I guess the best way to describe this is an old company town area, a major industrial town owned by a major corporation. Controls these three counties, and they have become the largest landowner up there and have bought off all the politicians. And I went up there and met with the NAACP folks and some better government folks and some environmental folks, and this is a big station. It's a 20,000-watt station. If we can get this together, this would be pretty amazing. And so I kind of told them all the problems and all the difficulties and how much it was going to cost and everything, but they're gung-ho. They really feel there's no voice, there's no newspapers, no television, no radio that covers any of the corruption that's going on up there. And it's been going on for a long, long time. And it was a pretty sad state of affairs. I'd heard all about this area, and to actually meet the people face-to-face, and because it was pretty amazing, and they all agreed, no, this has got to happen. So I got a second meeting with them when I leave Georgia. I'll be heading that way to talk with them. They've already committed to the money for the application studies and stuff like that. I am going to work with them on finding some other funding as well. There are a couple other holes in Florida, and I'm kind of working with WMNF. You know, the WMNF, one of the big community stations in the country out of Tampa. Yep, and I've been in touch with Susan Fox, their board president. We're playing phone tag today. but I'll be talking with her tomorrow, I'm sure. There are a couple of holes that they, it sounds like they'd be willing to play some type of role. So I'm trying to figure out the role they want to play and which holes they want to work with. And they're sizable enough, one on the East Coast and one just north of their signal area. Because I definitely need some more help in this, and those guys could really help out. Susan Fox is an attorney. She's willing to look over people. She's not a communication attorney, but she's willing to look over the applications, and she's getting up to speed on all that stuff. Questions? No questions?
First, I want to say you sound, this is Teresa Allen. I'm calling, I'm in Houston. I want to say you sound tremendously focused and real clear about what needs to be done, and that's very helpful to a lot of people. So thank you very much for your fine work.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Teresa, I spoke actually with David and Christopher, and I meet every day for a little while at noon, and they both agreed that they would be that they could use some help with calling. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I spoke with Christopher for about an hour today, and I've already got some assignments.
Okay, great.
Perhaps there's someone on the line here that would like to assist in some way. If you, like, for example, if I made some contacts, and if there is, like with Christopher, if he's working in an area and I know someone in that area that might be helpful or might want to get involved, I can share information with him and help make those contacts. So perhaps there's someone on this line, if you know someone in any of these areas that we've discussed, or if you know someone that's very sympathetic with perhaps an organization, you know, like the ACLU or, you know, some workers' rights organization, some liberal church, for example, you might want to offer your services to assist in just some small capacity.
Teresa, would you work as would you act as a contact person for that? Because
sure.
We can't really openly discuss the areas here because this is a public meeting.
Okay.
David,
if anyone would like to call me, I'm happy to go over, you know, some of these areas and perhaps start the process if you know of anyone that might want to get involved.
Very good.
Yeah, it's been really great to work with David. Just really, you know, it's been very inspiring, the work that he and Christopher are doing.
And let me tell you, there's a lot more out there, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you decide you want to take a vacation in Mississippi, please let us know. We'll tell you exactly where to go, okay?
Incredible.
Because I think there's some key opportunities in Mississippi that we're going to send Christopher out to, but there's Mississippi and there's some spots in Texas as well that could use some coverage, which are kind of out of our reach distance-wise. So,
yeah.
David, do
this
you have
Rob
any...
Rob Robinson, I just joined.
Oh, all right. Good. Welcome. Do you have any contact with the Immokalee workers?
Yeah.
I know that they broadcast almost exclusively in Spanish. I'm just wondering how they're doing, and are you any kind of a support system for them?
I've talked with them because there actually was a spot north of their area that was open, and they feel that their LPFM serves their community. Their community, because of it's a very intensive farm worker community, most
right.
of the gentlemen don't have cars. So if they move the station, they can't move the programmers. They're working very hard to get their antenna raised, their LPFM, and they want to focus their energies on that. They're doing very well. They've been rehabbing their community center. I spoke with them just a week and a half ago. They hope to get the community center rehabbed, which is where they put the station in, and then they're going to work on raising the tower. They know they can call us at any time. They seem to be usually busy, but we also call them, and we have an engineer that we work with that goes down there. We have an extra small tower that we're going to probably donate to them. They're doing great. They just can't take on a full power application at this time.
You don't know how you have warmed my heart, because, you know, we developed a very good relationship with them during the Taco Bell struggle. And the Immokalee workers were here a lot, and they were, at that time, this is a couple of years ago, and they were so inspiring because they had these ideas for their station in Florida, and to hear they're doing so well, because I've kind of lost touch with a lot of them.
David, they've taken on McDonald's now, haven't they?
Yeah, they already beat McDonald's. They're now on to Burger King right now.
That's great.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
And they're so happy with their station. Like, they did like a Christmas thing on their station, and they asked people to turn out into the street and stuff, and they ended up with 1,500 people in the street. They were blown away. So, yeah, they're doing great. Anything that we always can do to help them to stay, get through their problems and stuff, they use the same engineer that we use here that lives here locally with us. She drives down and services their studio. So
beautiful.
Yeah. They're beautiful people.
They really are. They're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask a question of the folks from Mississippi, if I could leap in, if that's okay, Ursula.
Sure.
I understand that there's a racial reconciliation project that's been going on in Mississippi for some time, and I believe one of the events takes place on the 24th of September. Are you folks familiar with that? Hello?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. Actually, they're from Florida.
I thought we had someone from Mississippi.
Yeah, they're looking for someone to go to Mississippi.
Ah, okay. Beg your pardon, I got the wrong end of the cap.
David is from a low-power
Sarasota.
Station.
Sarasota, okay.
Sarasota. But he's also currently temporarily employed by Pacifica to help out with the NCE filing application. We got a grant from Public Radio Capital, and he's working for a little while. So he and one other person are kind of field workers right now. So they're thinking about all these different states, you know.
But excuse me for speaking out of place then. I'll take that up later on.
No problem.
No problem, because there's actually another conference going on in Birmingham, Alabama, that is coming up in August. That I don't know, it's awful close to the window. I don't know if it's worth going up there, but I did get some information on that.
That's the Belafonte one, right?
Yes. Tavis Smiley's supposed to be there, and Barack Obama and stuff, but it's one of the cooperative conferences, I think.
I'll try to get more information and route it through Ursula. Then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you all done with me, Ursula?
I don't know. Are we done with him? Rip Robbins is here. He's the chair. So, Rip, I'll.
Okay. Well. Everyone is doing such a great job, and I was fascinated with the discussion, so that's why I hadn't. But if we're at a conclusion to that, then I want to thank the guests very much for the time that they've spent with us on the phone.
You're welcome.
And
thank you, David.
Thank you very much. This was wonderful.
No problem. I will talk to you tomorrow, Ursula.
Okay, see you then. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So the part that I'm behind on, I apologize for the lateness. I didn't realize we were going to start earlier with the guests, but they must have been lined up. So I'm not sure where we're at, and if Teresa could help me out. Have we gone through the formalities of the meeting?
No, we really haven't.
Okay.
And I have to make an apology, too. This is Chandra. I just found out that I was supposed to send out the proposal to the greater task force, and I didn't. And now I've been offline since the weekend, and so I have no way of doing it at the moment.
I sent it out earlier today, about 3
o'clock.
Thank you. Yeah. And figured that, that the people on the call, though, I think that we can kind of go over that. But first, I suppose that the secretary wants to do the roll call, and we can make the task force meeting more formal, I guess.
Well, that sounds like a great idea. Just bear with me one minute. Okay. All right.
By the way, Ursula, that was a really exciting presentation.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. That's great, isn't he?
I'm glad he's on our side.
All right. Teresa Alton is here. Deb Shafto does not appear to be on. Sandra Rawline does not appear to be on. Ray LaForest. Serene Roberts. Sean Rhodes. Berta Silva. Am I on the right committee? Margaret Prescott.
It's my punishment for not sending notice out last week, I'll tell you.
Alan Minsky. Don White.
Here.
Rob Robinson.
Here.
Kalonji Alusagun. Okay, Chandra Hopman.
Here.
Thank you. Sarv Randhawa. Rip Robbins.
Here.
Laurie Taguma. Dina Colbert.
Here.
Ursula Rudenberg.
Here.
Okay, and is there anyone who considers themselves part of this task force whose name I didn't call? Okay, as you well know, Evelyn Bethune resigned from this from the task force on May 10th. And I do encourage people to tell others and remind them to prompt them to come on the meeting. And as you're well aware, David Beaton was also our guest at this meeting.
And can I ask whether the affiliates that said they would join the task force were notified?
No.
They haven't been notified yet.
You mean via the list, sir?
Yes.
No, I don't think I've added them to the listserv yet.
Could I please ask that they be added so that they could join us by next month?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, I did get emails replied from Sandra and Sean asking to be excused from the meeting.
Thank you very much.
So next is the approval of the agenda. And the agenda includes approval of minutes. We had the guest speaker. The item number 4 is approval of the proposal to the PNB. And I was considering that would be the major item of business tonight after the presentation, in that we may need to discuss the budget part of it. And so I just figured that with this kind of important topic, we would focus on that and just see where we end up with that. So that was the only item on the agenda.
Could I add a piece of new business, if possible,
yes,
which has to do with the implementation of the affiliates deeper into the Pacifica network and the network? It's more of it's the next steps necessary, and I'd like to just form a subcommittee, so I'd like to discuss that briefly.
I started with that, Dina, but in the middle I got a bit confused. Could you restate that?
To discuss a deeper collaboration between the Pacifica Network and the affiliates as a subcommittee project.
So Dina Colbert is requesting a subcommittee be formed to discuss a deeper commitment of what?
Collaboration, not a deeper commitment. A deeper collaboration
between what?
The affiliates and the Pacifica Network system station.
Pacifica Network.
This would be a work group.
Okay, Dina Colbert requested a subcommittee be formed to discuss a deeper collaboration between affiliates and the Pacifica Network. Is that it?
A collaboration, not deeper.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Um,
Rip?
Yes.
I would also like to add an item agenda, an agenda item, to propose a, I'd like to make a proposal that the task force propose something to the PNB, what do you call it when they make a statement on something?
Resolution.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to provide wording for a resolution and ask the task force consider bringing this to the PNB.
Great.
Do you want to send that to me now?
Well, I'll send it to you after I, you know, we talk about it.
Okay. Are we putting this in new business, or where are we putting these things?
Yes.
Here?
So it's either number 5 or 6, depending on how you maybe arrange this.
As a secretary, I'm going to ask to go back here. Dina
okay.
Colbert requested that affiliates be notified. And how are these affiliates designated? These were affiliates that asked to be involved. How do you want that designated? And who's taking responsibility to do that? Ursula Rudenberg will?
I think she was, yeah, requesting that the email addresses be added to the list so that they would be informed and therefore invited to the next meeting.
All affiliates are just specific.
Yeah, I'll also call them and speak with them. You know, I'm sorry, I've kind of been overwhelmed with work, but
weren't they specific, Dina?
Yeah, there were 3 people specifically that offered during GRC to join the affiliate task force.
Okay.
One was Brian Sherman from WRFG. One, Ursula, who's the man from KGNU?
Sharif, I don't remember his last name.
Oh, yeah.
Sharif, and the third person, depending on the project, is BR from KMUD.
Oh, yeah.
Those
okay.
3 people specifically offered to participate in the task force.
Yeah, okay, great.
2 of them with the possibility of using this as a training for possible further participation on the PNB
mm-hmm.
at a later time.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that I'm documenting that. Colbert requested 3 affiliate members be notified of WRFG, KGNU, and KMUD be invited to join the affiliate task who invited to join the affiliate task force, and Ursula Rudenberg will make contact. Then Colbert requested subcommittee to discuss a collaboration between affiliates and Pacifica Network. That's new business, and Ursula Rudenberg, a resolution. Is there anything else that we're adding to the agenda that I may have missed? Okay. Thank you for your patience.
Okay. Well, then, I don't recall if we have minutes in front of us, Teresa, to approve, or I know that we had.
I'm asking that we defer approval of minutes because, frankly,
okay.
I do not have them in front of me.
Yeah, that's fine because I'll put the specific ones on the proposed agenda next month.
Okay.
So we have the dates of those on this agenda. So since we had the guest speaker, we'll move to the main business of the night, which is approval or discussion and modification of the proposal to the PNB. I did attach it to the email this afternoon if anyone did have time, and it was also sent out by Chandra on the 26th of June.
Oh, so I did send it out.
Originally you sent it to – oh, wait, it was only went to a few people on the work group. I'm sorry. So so it didn't go to everyone until this afternoon. So it's a – I won't say it's lengthy necessarily, but it's a lot to digest in a few minutes. So maybe we could go over the highlights.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to come back later?
As compared to the original discussion that we had, I think it's been improved considerably.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And this proposal will be going to the PNB, and the associated budget for this proposal is also going to be brought up at the PNB. And I guess I'll preface this with explaining a little bit of the homework that I've been routing this through the chair of the Finance Committee. So with the question that since we're not asking for new spending, is it possible that this can be approved by the PNB for inclusion in the budget and th- therefore be included in the final deliberations on the budget by finance, since it doesn't actually require new spending, but simply reallocating current revenues. And according to what we're looking at, it could be only 55 to 60% of current revenues, although there are occasions for special projects where between $5,000 and $30,000 would need to be allocated for one-time projects. That's the near-term perspective that we have on the kind of spending. So the chair of the finance department committee hasn't actually responded to say yes or no with this kind of, you know, affirmation that I wish I could have out of it. But it doesn't seem to be that there's a big red flag here. So that's what I know about the process that we're about to take on. So would Chandra, would you like to introduce the item since
we know who joined the call?
Hello?
Hello?
Who joined the call?
Okay, well, maybe someone left the call. So, Chandra, do you want to go ahead?
Yes. All right. Basically, what the working group envisioned is that the affiliates program of Pacifica has really grown and expanded under Ursula's direction, and it was also a vision of the current executive director that the outreach work that Ursula has done has gone beyond just working with the affiliates. She's represented Pacifica in other capacities doing outreach, and Pacifica does not have an outreach, anybody doing outreach. So our vision was that Pacifica needs to create an outreach division, and we put forward a proposal to create an outreach division and fold the affiliates program and Ursula Rudenberg and her associate within that division, and hopefully this would grow the affiliates program and grow and establish an outreach division for the Pacifica Foundation. So I could read from the introduction just to give everybody an idea about what we were thinking and what we've put forward. The PNB Affiliates Task Force is recommending that an outreach division be formed as part of national office. This is a natural outgrowth of Pacifica's ever-expanding affiliates program. When the program was originally created, there were only
13.
And I had 14?
13.
13 affiliates. Does everybody know what the history is about during the struggle with the Pacifica Foundation, with the prior board of directors? We had many more affiliates, and they left in protest, and so we were only down to 13 affiliates at the time of the lawsuit settlement in 2001. And Ursula was hired. You were hired in 2001, weren't you, Ursula?
I was hired for this job in 2003, and in 2001 we still were in the struggle.
Yeah, you were still part of another group.
Yeah, I was hired as a consultant in 2002, and in October of 2003 I was hired as an employee.
Okay, so within a very short period of just less than 4 years, we've gone from 13 affiliates to over 125. What are we up to now, Ursula? Over 130.
I'm not sure. I think it's about 107.
Well, as of June 26th, we had 130 affiliates, and not only and previously we were only domestic based, and now we're international with affiliates in Liberia, Nigeria, and El Salvador, and growing, and of course internet affiliates as well. So this is very exciting, and you know, we have the rationale is that we have an $18 million media organization with no outreach, public relations, or media advocacy unit. And so our vision is that these would be the three functions, as well as the affiliate program that the outreach division would perform: outreach, public relations, media advocacy, and affiliate relations. So the mission, as we see it, is to promote Pacifica Radio as the broadcast champion for independent radio, to further the cause of progressive grassroots media, to seek further collaboration between progressive radio producers and organizations that advocate for free speech rights in an ever more repressive media environment. The vision, as we see it, is to create an effective outreach and public relations division, enhance the profile of the Pacifica Network in general and the affiliates program in particular to ensure its long-term success. As the founder of public radio in the U.S., Pacifica needs to promote and expand its leadership role within community media at large. So, as I said, the outreach division would have the following functions: affiliates program, promotion of Pacifica and radio archives and Pacifica's sister stations, identifying new markets to promote Pacifica products, furtherance of the Pacifica mission, and also perform the function of public relations. And the staff initially would be comprised of the director, who would be the affiliates coordinator with the job renamed and redefined, part-time administrative assistant who is currently on board, and then eventually to bring in a part-time consultant to do the work of public relations and media advocacy outreach. And we have a general job description for the outreach coordinator, outreach director, and that's an attachment that went out with our proposal. And that's basically it.
Question, are we going to talk about the budget on this call as well?
I would imagine that yes, because of the timing, we must talk about it.
Yeah, this will be our last opportunity.
Yeah. Are there any comments from other task force members? I have some. First, I want to ask. Okay, hearing nothing there, I'm going to start.
I do too.
Okay. The other than a couple edits in there, what I think that we should do as a motion, I suppose, is that is the sentence that's in about the third paragraph about the Affiliates Task Force recommends the expansion of the Affiliates Program into an affiliate/outreach division. I guess outreach division is fine. Outreach division is part of the national office. That we move that to we either make a motion to that effect that becomes the leading sentence, or move that sentence to the top so that immediately directors will know what we're asking for when this comes from committee to the PNB. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I support the motion, but I think that there's a problem of reality that we're bumping up against with the network. First of all, you know, we're looking at a network with stations, most of which are dealing with eroding audiences and shrinking revenue bases. And right now we're in a situation where we can't really get the national board to support goals for growth. So the local stations, on the one hand, are now going to be in competition with the affiliates program for funds, but there's not the acknowledgement that we as an organization need to be following the lead of the affiliates program and reaching more and more people. So one of the concerns that I have in this is that until we get the local stations to adopt an attitude that what they have to do is reach larger audiences so that we can reverse the problems that we have with listenership and membership revenues, the reality is that we can pass things like this. But in the internal meetings with management, the local stations are going to gut any attempts to put money into infrastructure or the affiliates program or technology. And I just think that one of the things that we're going to have to do as PNB members is bite the bullet of the problems that we're facing as a network. Because what's you know, Ursula may have another point of view about this, but what we've seen over and over again is that when it comes to doing something like funding the affiliates program, which helps us build a broader base, or getting the local stations to acknowledge the fact that by doing things with their programming, they can reach broader audiences, the tendency is for us to embrace the status quo. So I'm not sure how it's going to help to pass a resolution like this if the PNB isn't also committed to taking steps to literally getting the network, everybody in the network, particularly the local stations, to focus on doing everything within their power to reach larger audiences so that we can generate more revenue to do things like this.
Could I ask a follow-up question to
your
statement,
I would
Robin?
Also like to comment on that afterwards.
Yeah. Do you think that as a step, even if there were unfunded projects in an outreach division, that with no new monies being required for this step, that this is a step to take?
Well, I believe in this. I mean, I think that, mm-hmm. that the affiliates program is going in a direction that Pacifica should go in. But the local stations are not going in this direction. They haven't gone in this direction for decades, and there is tremendous resistance to moving in other directions. So my concern is, until we do something to shift the emphasis of the network onto behaving as a network and reaching more people so that we have access to other revenues, what's going to happen in the final analysis is that the local stations are basically going to fight for the dollars that they've got. And remember, you know, the other problem for the affiliates program is that the affiliates program, well, the national office programs are funded with the 20% administrative cost that comes from the local stations. So there's a relationship between the national office and the local stations that really has worked against us making moves in terms of growing the network. So I don't exactly know how to answer your question except to say that yes, this is the right thing to do, but the foundation and the network and the PNB have to embrace goals that are consistent with what the affiliates program is doing, not with the way the local stations are operating.
Ursula?
Well, there's two comments I'd like to make. I appreciate you breaking this down, Rob, because I think it's very important that this consideration be looked at now. So I appreciate you putting this on the table. There's two comments I want to make. One is that the reason why I am recommending this now is because I feel very strongly that the survival of the affiliates program and Pacifica as a network, as a national entity, depends on taking this step forward. And you got to start somewhere. You know, you got to start you got to start saying what is needed. You know, no matter how much people want to hear it, it's time to do it. And if this is not institutionalized in some ways, it will begin to disintegrate soon, if nothing else, because, of my amount of energy. You can't have an important part of the network depending on one person's personality. It's unrealistic. So that's one thing. And that's not to discount the work that everybody else does. But the reality is, on the day-to-day basis, it still breaks down way too much to rely on one person. And, my personal, sense of what where we should go. So that's one thing. The other thing which I think I want to make even more kind of to the point is that I think that one way to address this is and there's one little piece of wording we could change, I think. I think conceptually the way I see this is that we are not asking the network to make a shift to support the affiliates program more. Quite the contrary. What I see this move as is a move to to take the some of the energy and momentum of the affiliate program and move it to some degree a little bit away from the affiliates program and to apply it to the network. So we're not only talking about support for the affiliates program, we're talking about that the main issue here really is that we need to start doing public relations for Pacifica Network. And that means the five stations. So this outreach department will be about helping the stations promote themselves, as well as the national entity of the network. It's basically a shift to say, we need to start doing outreach, period, and the national office has to recognize that. And I'll give you a very concrete example of how I think it is a hopeful situation. Where was I? I was somewhere, I think it was the last board meeting. I passed out copies of the new brochure that we did. And Ron, your station manager, he picked it up and he said, I love this. You know, this is gorgeous. You know, where can we get something like this? And I said, well, I'll give you the name of the person that I worked with, and I'll be happy to work with you on this. And, you know, I've gotten that kind of response several times from people at the stations. And so in some ways, you know, what we're trying to do here is to bring more momentum to the stations. And I think that this initiative needs to be presented in this form because it is what it is. I mean, my goal is not to promote the affiliates program. My goal is to promote Pacifica with the understanding that that will help the affiliates program. And I think it's a very dire situation. My trips this year to the GRC and the social forum, you know, made that very, very clear to me. It was really interesting. I repeatedly, not so much at the GRC because people know who we are there, but at the social forum, you know, we had a table and we repeatedly, you know, I was repeatedly talking to people about, you know, Pacifica, and I would be talking about community radio to them and they would be looking at me blankly, and all of a sudden their eyes would light up when they'd start to get a sense of what I was talking about, and then they would say one of two things. They would either say, oh, you know that show, Democracy Now? Or they would say, oh, have you heard of the Prometheus Project? I just love them. And then I'd say, yeah, I know them, but have you heard of Pacifica? And then they would just look at me blankly. You know, and that is the result of 5 years of no public relations. You know, that it's just simple. So we can't afford not to do public relations.
Well, Ursula, I believe you, but until we really have committed the entire network, including the autonomous local stations, to being part of a network and being focused on reaching out to listeners, I think these things are just gonna fall by the wayside. And we know that there is going to be competition, you know, as more and more stations continue to miss their fundraising targets, the tendency to let dollars go to the affiliates program or to technology or to IT, those things are not happening. So my concern is to support something like this without getting a sea change in the focus of the network, including the local stations, just means that a program or that a concept like this is likely to get gutted in the budget discussions. And I don't want to see that happen. But I also
know it might happen, but I think there is no way to bring a sea change about without starting to talk about it.
Well, but we've got people on this call from the local stations, and they're going to have to be willing to take a stand on the PNB, to support targets for growth.
Well, I'd like to speak to that. Just coming out of a KPFA budget meeting where KPFA finally recognized a need that I have been pushing for the past 6 years to hire a volunteer outreach coordinator. Now, that might seem like a very, very simple expenditure, but the goal of that is to increase KPFA's profile, public relations, by using a resource that we have locally, which is our volunteers. KPFA, and I'm using this as an example to what you're speaking, KPFA sponsors many, many events throughout the Signal area and lends our name to others that we don't necessarily directly sponsor, and yet we don't have a presence at these events except to say this is sponsored by KPFA. No brochure, no information, and we go around and I go to peace events, I go to marches, and the progressive community has never heard of us. We have a crafts fair. It's a highly regarded crafts fair, and we have juried crafters there. We have beautiful merchandise that we sell, and many of the people that come to the crafts fair have never heard of KPFA. They come because it's a crafts fair.